From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of October, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Suzalo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, and we'll hear about the agricultural weather forecast, too. That from Eric Snodgrass at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Along the way, Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist from the University of Illinois, will join us to discuss fall nitrogen applications, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today settled at $5.38. That was up 5 3/4. The March at 5.46 3/4, 5 1/4 higher. And May futures up a nickel at $5.50 3/4. November soybeans, $12.20 1/2, down 3 1/2. January at $12.30 3/4, 2 3/4 lower. And the March contract at $12.39 3/4, down 3 3/4. Bean meal futures up $3.40. The bean oil 49 cents lower on the afternoon. December wheat up 14 3/4 at $7.56 for the soft red. The hard red December at $7.74. It was up 22 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby about $1.22 1/2 lower. Feeders were down 2.67 1/2, and lean hogs were up $1.25 for the day. Mike Suzalo, GlobalComResearch.com, out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us, and thanks for doing yesterday's Commodity Week, too.
You put together another great week for Commodity Week. I hope the listeners can stick around right after our show here, Todd, and hopefully get some good information from a standpoint of segueing out of 21 and into 22, given all of the big wide swath of issues and fundamental factors that we're going to have to contend with.
Yeah, it was a very good program. Those who can stay on our home station will hear it all on many of these radio stations over the weekend and up online now at willag.org. Let's do deal with 2021, the crop that's in the ground now. What was the player in the marketplace today in Chicago?
Yeah, I think the big thing that I saw pretty much all week, and it was one of those weeks where it looked as though maybe we stayed with some key factors and didn't really have to jump around too much. And for the soybeans in particular, because we are looking at a little bit more rain, in fact, a lot more rain in some regions of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio in the next 5 days, if the noontime GFS model's correct. But it didn't seem like the trade really played off of that at all on Friday, in my opinion. I think especially given that the Brazilian currency was able to make a fresh six-month low and weak against the U.S. dollar, weakness against the U.S. dollar, I think that kind of soured the taste in the trade's mouth of trying to buy into the soybeans. And instead, I think they chose to obviously buy the wheat outright and probably spread off the corn against the soybeans with the idea that, well, I'd rather be long corn right now going into the weekend, and then maybe I'll watch the weather. But given the harvest progress being so slow for a lot of my clients in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, for soybeans in particular, I think this trade maybe will have to come back Sunday, Monday if those precip totals are accurate.
Yeah, so at this time around, it won't be buy the rumor, sell the fact. It'll probably be just be buy the fact if that rainfall does come to fruition, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you're right, because they probably, you know, if they're spreading off like I think they are, long corn, short beans, I think they're going to have to sell, buy back their short positions in the soybeans at maybe a minimum, and then maybe even introduce a little bit more length, especially given, and we talked about this in Commodity Week at some length, especially given the strengthening basis that we're getting here in this halfway point in harvest.
And so basis is strengthening. Farmers, do you think they should sell that soybean crop across the scale still?
I don't think they should if they don't have to, in terms of if they've got enough for on-farm storage of both. I feel like beans are in a range. The fact that we've gone back down towards the 12-20 level in November beans, that's probably the lower end of the spectrum, especially given that we did see the demand return in a big way this week. We had a lot of cargoes of beans bought, U.S. beans bought from China. So, I mean, I guess I feel like that you give the beans a chance to get up to around 12.50. I think there, Todd, you probably have some real supply-demand fundamental resistance, given the carryover levels we're looking at both domestically and globally. And I think then it's up to the wheat and up to the corn. And I'm hoping Friday's trade in wheat continues on into next week, because one of the big things that happened Friday was a very large elevator, and one of the ABCDs reportedly canceled delivery registrations for a large quantity of hard red wheat, which suggests, if it's true, that they're not ready to offer to sell that wheat into the market channel yet. And that suggests then that it could be a situation where you're looking at a lot better demand coming. And here again, on the Commodity Week program, we talked a lot about protein and a lot about wheat. So please tune into that.
Hey, one other thing, and I don't know whether you caught this today. I saw a Reuters story that Archer Daniels Midland ADM had sold or was in the process of beginning to sell its Peoria ethanol plant to BioErgia. That's Jordan Fife and company. Well, that's who he works for out of Texas. I wonder if that concerns you at all.
Well, I think it's a transition, and I think ADM even noted this when they talked about it in their press release, that they're pretty much out of the biofuel, and they're more of a nutrient company now, is I think how they worded it. So it doesn't concern me as long as we've got high gasoline prices and we've got the best production in ethanol since June of 2019. So right now we don't have to worry about policy and blend wall issues as much.
I suppose it's similar to Monsanto going from a chemical company to a trait company.
I think that's right. It's an ESG play probably, and more of a green issue for them at this stage of the game. And they see the livestock demand and the alternative meat demand maybe outpacing the biofuel demand at this point. I don't know.
Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, Cattle on Feed report will be coming out shortly after we get this program out. And I think it's really crucial that we watch those marketings for September. They look low to me. I'm hoping we do at least 100% in marketings, because it sure seemed like out in this part of the cattle country, we had a lot better demand in the month of September than maybe what this report's picking up.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
That's Mike Suslow. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Wednesday of this week, University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger wrote an article for the Crop Central website. You can find that article, or at least a link to it, on our website. It's titled Notes as Fall Harvest Continues, and he talks a little bit about fall harvest, crop loss, which we heard yesterday, tillage, and of course, nitrogen application. Today, we'll hear a portion of my discussion with him about nitrogen application. It starts with 50 degree soil temperatures, and that's at the 4-inch level, but it's also at 10 a.m. in the morning, and those temperatures did drop. However, it's quite likely they won't stay there, because next week's lows won't be low enough to keep those soil temperatures down. It may also very well be too wet to apply in at that time. Here's what Emerson Nafziger has to say about that 50 degree number and nitrogen applications in the form of anhydrous ammonium.
We need the temperatures to go down, stay down, if we're going to get those soil temperatures down. And it's probably going to be safe after the 1st of November, or as safe as we can make it. And we expect those temperatures to go down. If November was as warm as it could be, they may not get down very quickly in November either, even. But 50 degrees is not, some perfectly safe lockbox for nitrogen applied as ammonia. The nitrification process, that ammonium converting into nitrate, continues at 50 degrees. It's just at a lower level. And what we always hope by waiting until it's 50 degrees is to have it continue to go down. We actually have to get to frozen soil before that process stops completely. And so it's all sort of a game of chance a little bit. And the idea is that we would really like to go into a frozen soil winter with the majority of that nitrogen we applied in the fall still in the ammonium form. If it isn't, then it can be lost any time the tile lines run. Then there's going to be some nitrate moving with it. And that's what, we'd certainly like to minimize that. We probably can't eliminate it, but that's why we go through these kind of exercises in the fall to see if we can do our best to get the nitrogen in under good conditions, try to keep it there till the next spring. Using inhibitors is also the almost a universal practice now in the fall. The fact that nitrogen has increased in price so much actually increases the value of trying to keep it in place. In other words, we're spending a lot for nitrogen, and that means that any nitrogen that's lost from what we apply is an additional expense.
Hey, by the way, that inhibitor recommendation is only for fall-applied anhydrous ammonium. You can read more from Emerson Nafziger on our website. He's an extension agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Look for the article titled Notes as Fall Harvest Continues at willag.org. It's Friday. We always talk with Eric Snodgrass, meteorologist with Agribol and Nutrient Ag Solutions. Eric, it's not a very pretty day out. Thank you, I guess, for being with us. You always get the blame when that happens, but not your fault. I know. I was hoping today would be better because it kind of looks like the weekend's not going to be great. What can you tell me about this weather? And where's it starting from to begin with?
Yeah, well, the start of this is all in the Gulf of Alaska, and we've had some very deep troughs cutting there. And if you think the weather's terrible here, go to Northern California this weekend. They're going to be possibly getting an additional 8 to 10 inches of rainfall after what they've already seen. We may add up as much as 4 to 5 feet of snow in the Sierra Nevada and the Cascades. And that's where the greatest kind of momentum in the flow of the jet stream currently is. And what's happening is we keep kind of tossing these weaker waves around the base of that big trough, and they get out into the plains, they get out into the Midwest, and we've got three of them to deal with. The first one's here now, at least it went past us, and we're just getting kind of the wraparound very low cloud field producing this ugly drizzle across, you know, central Illinois today. But then this weekend is the one I'm most concerned about. We've got a shortwave that's going to come through Missouri, get over into parts of western Illinois. And as it does so, it's going to make this surface low pressure system. And because we've not yet had a big push of really dry air and cold air get all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, we're still in this warm, humid, and unstable air mass. And so what I'm concerned about on Sunday is the risk of severe storms. Yeah, it's kind of weird to be saying that at the end of October, but we've got to be worried about that this coming Sunday. The big problem, though, is that between that wave, the one that follows it midweek next week, these little short waves that make these low pressure systems, we might have places in Illinois, basically from northern Missouri through central Illinois into central and northern Indiana, that I hate to say it, could get 3 inches of rainfall out of this. And so therefore, even if it is dry, you know, into the following week, we've been chased out of the fields because of this system.
Farmers won't like that. They've already been dealing with some wet from the previous systems. This will clearly add to that problem. But I want to go back to something you mentioned up front. You talked about warmer air from the Gulf, but really you started with Alaska. It's cooled down. Do we have to worry about frost and freezes yet?
Yeah. Well, you know, if we were going to get brutally cold air in place at the end of October, November, we can't have that cold air be on the other side of the Rocky Mountain, on the other side of the Continental Divide. You need to be building up kind of a storehouse of cold air, usually over the Canadian Prairie or over the Hudson Bay, that then you let out farther to the south. But we've not done that. The pattern's been blocked up. So we have yet to have our first frost here in central Illinois. Now, there's a frost that happened in the plains, in northern plains. It's hit Iowa. It's hit Wisconsin, and northern Illinois is going to get a frost over this weekend. We'll get down into the mid-upper 30s, but I don't think yet we're going to get one here in central Illinois. And that puts us about almost a week to 10 days behind our average first frost date. So the situation then goes back over to looking like more mild conditions. When I say mild, yeah, you get shots of cold air, but not like what we can get this time of year. Until we dislodge this massive ridge that's sitting over Greenland, Hudson Bay, till that goes away, this pattern will persist, and it's just hanging on for dear life.
Well, we're a week to 10 days away from the month of November. Does the pattern persist right into that month?
Well, every single model out there says, yeah, sure, just keep this going. There are some indicators, though, that it might shift. Just kind of like, remember a couple weeks ago I said, watch out for October 10th? Well, as I start to think about it, when are we going to see this pattern shift? Because that October 10th was the day I was worried about starting over on a wet pattern. Well, what about going over to a cooler pattern? It may appear that after Halloween, getting into that first week of November, we might be able to get a few more frequent shots at some cooler conditions. Not cold, but cooler conditions. And then most of us are claiming that once you get past the first week of November, there are better and better chances that we could finally move into a true fall pattern where we, you know, we get those freezing temperatures more frequently as we get through the month of November. And that's all predicated on the MJO doing its job, which it has yet to do for the last couple of weeks. So we'll watch it carefully.
Hey, the MJO, that reminds me we should talk about South America too. What do you see there?
Yeah, well, South America's planting progress, especially in Mato Grosso, is just barreling along at kind of breakneck pace, and they're enjoying the rains. In fact, I just had a call yesterday with my colleagues down in Goiás and Tocantins and Minas Gerais, and they're getting the rain. That's Brazil's eastern growing area. They're now getting the rain. Where it's drier, well, it's going to start to get drier after this weekend in southern Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay. And just to remember, the longer-term threat due to this La Nina is going to be in those areas, southern Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina. We need to watch that carefully for the next several months because this La Nina, it's packing a pretty serious punch. It is much stronger than I had initially anticipated back at the end of summer. So that's the main driver, I think, for southern Brazil's possibility at drought development later on this year.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Helped us to wrap up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. Don't forget that if you're listening to our home station, for the full hour, you can hear our Commodity Week program as well. And on many of these radio stations, that program will show up over the weekend. And it, too, is at willag.org. Commodity Week is next.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Jason Winter from Advanced Trading out of Fargo, North Dakota, and Mike Zuzula at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. Let's begin by getting a list of items that we should discuss for the day. I think Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, we'll start with you. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, Todd, I think first and foremost, are we trying to forge a harvest low in here? We had kind of an ugly day in the markets today. You know, are we going to find the demand that we need? South America is in the mix here with a La Nina year, and I don't think it's too early to be talking about this input and acreage situation we've got developing for the 2022 planting season coming up.
What's on your list, Mike Zuzulo?
I would say just the risk on inflationary trade. You know, is this going to last for a while or is it going to go away pretty soon or can we even tell?
And finally, Jason Winter is here from Advanced Trading. He's out of Fargo, North Dakota. You've heard him on our Closing Market Report a couple of times, I think, over the years, but this is the first time he has joined us for our Commodity Week program. Thank you, Jason, for being with us. Why don't you, instead of adding to the list, you can do that as well, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your office there in Fargo.
Jason Winter with Advanced Trading up in Fargo here. I've been with Advanced Trading at a branch office up here for the last 5 years. Before that, I spent many years in the grain merchandising world around Minnesota and Dakotas and just up here working with farmers. So for us up here, we're still just still have harvest going on. Bean harvest is wrapped up, but corn harvest going on and probably talk a little bit about maybe spring wheat if we have chance, and then what's going on with our basis levels. Our basis levels are quite firm compared to normal years. So,
if I don't get to the spring wheat now, I won't remember to do it. So let's take that up. You are concerned about spring wheat. It was something we talked about on the radio in the past month or so, but have kind of gotten by. What are you thinking?
Not concerned about it, but, you know, unlike corn and beans, which, you know, have been a little bit more wishy-washy the past month or so, spring wheat made a new high, almost reached $10 last night on the D-sport. So it just, It's just been kind of a market on its own here recently, just grinding higher. So finding new highs, you know, a couple of days this week. So just something to, you know, we had half of a, you know, half of a week, a spring wheat crop, and just everything that we have going on up here in North Country. A lot of these other commodities or grains that we grow have just had some crazy wild high prices, you know, all along here, and continue to just move higher. So spring wheat's just one of them. Canola, a lot of your edible beans, oats. Oats has been on this crazy move the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. So
just offhand, do you think that is because you were in such a dry area? There were short crops, and, you know, droughts can be early season, mid season, and late season. So these would be early to mid season, I think. Really dry conditions that created issues for those crops. Will that have much of an impact on acreage in the Dakotas, Minnesota, part of the Northern Corn Belt?
Yeah, acreage going, I mean, from here going forward all the way out into the spring is going to be for surely. I mean, you're going to have corn, you know, the corn, and, you know, we're going to hear a lot of news this winter, I'm sure, about corn and beans and you know, what we're going to plant there versus the inputs and the cost of production. But up here in North Dakota, I mean, we can look at planting a lot of variety of different grains and commodities. So it's for surely going to be quite the battle up here. Not only, you know, we're still going to plant some corn and beans, but spring wheat, I mentioned canola, oats, sunflowers are going to buy a bunch of acres. So it's going to be quite the battle from here going into the spring. So
Mike Zislow, can you pick up on this theme? You follow wheat in general as a commodity across the planet. I'm wondering whether you've been thinking much about this and the acreage battle as it's related to the Northwestern Corn Belt and how that backs into maybe what happens in the rest of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, and I'm glad Jason brought it up. Welcome aboard, Jason, on Commodity Week. You know, Todd, I think this is a textbook case where the spring wheat, the protein, both sides of the border, Canada, the United States, and some wet weather, if I remember right, in Australia, it's really limited the protein wheat around the world. And the cash price of Minneapolis dark northern spring wheat at the 15% protein level just crossed through the $11 threshold this week. And it's chasing, I think, after a $12 plus high that was made back in 2015. So, excuse me, that's one of the kind of a marker year or a similar year that I would be looking at as far as the spring wheat goes is 2015.
That's Mike Zislow. He's with GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll have more with Mike, Jason Winter, and Chip Nellinger in just a moment here on Illinois Public Media.